Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now a special Talk Radio 1210 WPHT presentation. It's Readin', Writin', and Reason. Now here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Hey, welcome in everyone to Readin', Writin', and Reason. Dom Giordano and Dan, our spectacular podcast that drops every Friday afternoon here. And you find it on the station's website or hear it over the weekend. And the thing that I wanted to lead off with before we get to our big guest of the day, who is a big story here for parents that care about their kids and their learning and being in school and freedom issues. We hope to talk with Dr. David Damsker coming up here about all those issues. And the thing I want to lead off with, look, we're all critical of the people running many times public schools in the area. But I got to say, great piece in Philly.com, in the paper, in the Inquirer, yes, about something good. To keep their kids engaged during this pandemic year, one North Philadelphia school went all in for the families. They talk about the students at the William Dick Elementary School learning remotely. Those who had near-perfect attendance, they were visited by, I believe it's the principal. No, maybe it's the first grade teacher, dressed as the school mascot, this panther, showing up to greet the kids, large, fuzzy mascot through North Philadelphia. Just one of the things that the Dick Elementary School teachers and staff did this past year to help the 450 students and their families survive a year of virtual learning. The principal even hit the streets and knocked on doors to find two dozen students that they had lost contact with. You got to realize, these are in difficult circumstances. The share of Dick students who attended 95% of the time or more this past year, the district's gold standard, is the highest of any elementary or middle school in North Philly. And the costume arrival of the mascot at their first stop that they chronicle on this warm April day that they follow got screams of joy from the Meggett household, five siblings and a cousin, all enrolled at the school. The panther is here, first grader Jerica Rayner shouted as the teacher walked in full regalia. They all had perfect attendance. Hard work pays off. The struggles of waking up and doing what you have to do, I have to keep on top of them, said the mom. So, again, it's fine to be critical. And absolutely a lot to criticize out there in many public schools. But kudos to these people in a very difficult circumstance for coming up with creative ways to engage the kids. And as difficult as virtual was, now the Philadelphia public schools would come back in the fall versus the nonsense that still appears to be happening. Maybe these teachers and principals would have an easier time and a better shot to educate rather than relying on this. But I'm sure they'll do what they can. This week, we had so much response on the radio show. I had to put it back here in the podcast to the, the interview coming up, you hear of Dr. Damsker out there in Bucks County was the architect of this. But the fact that now three school districts in Bucks County, and they're the only ones, three school districts in Bucks County that I can find in the area. There's a few in Jersey who are defying Governor Murphy using the heat mandate loophole to say, no, our kids are not going to be wearing in this heat the mask. I have to commend WHYY. They did a big, big story. Bucks County parents divided over schools ditching mask mandate. And they build it correctly in some ways between those valuing personal freedom and those prioritizing health concerns. But it's more than personal freedom on the side that said, kids in school, let's end it with the mask. It's about health and mental health concerns in addition to that. But Damsker, in this piece, was also interviewed, the guy that heads up public health out in Bucks County. And I'm going to ask him about his statement that I've said right from the beginning of this. Look, most people realized this is a very, very touchy thing. You give up a freedom, you don't get it back easily. But flattening the curve, the height of this, last March, some lockdown, most people thought there is some reasonability here to this. But Dr. David Damsker said this: when you order someone to do something or to limit their freedom, it needs to be stopped as soon as that mitigation or control measure is no longer necessary. It doesn't matter if it's the last 2 weeks of school. It doesn't matter if it's a day. It doesn't matter if it's an hour. If you want to have good faith, if you want to be in concert with our principles, and more importantly, maybe, if you want to have credibility, when the crisis has passed or diminished, you have to ease up. Not a week from now, not a month from now, not as some whim or public pressure that's forcing you to do it. You must do it in concert with where the science and where COVID is taking us. Damsker has done that. If we do the seven fishes this year, Dan and I have already talked, and I think we have a very good shot at doing it, the Feast of the Seven Fishes. He will be one of the honorees. I do hope he shows up, and I don't think we'll be in mass country at all by that point. He has just been brilliant. But in this piece by WHYY, they interviewed a parent who was outraged over the fact that her kid will now wear a mask in school and others will not. And she told them, quote, "When you tell the kids in a classroom, your parents get to decide whether you wear a mask or not, you're bringing this division into the classroom." Again, we're not trying to bring division into the classroom. We're trying to bring in there not just science, but the maximum amount of personal liberty and freedom, even with kids, even with pre-K kids. They understand that maybe on a different level, all the way up through high school, college, or the workplace. Isn't that what we ought to be trying to do? That takes judgment. It takes urgency. It takes thought. It takes talking back and forth with people you respect till you come to a decision. David Damsker did that. Sadly, Wolf, Levine, Cuomo, Whitmer way out, Newsom, they didn't do this. A lot of this stuff has been based on whim. And you know what? So what if we're wrong? And you've been, they always say, inconvenienced. It's more than inconvenienced here. It's a lot more. That doesn't mean you just throw caution to the winds. It means there's a judgment involved here. And that takes a lot of thought, a lot of effort, a lot of putting aside your ego or just your ideology. And I think that's what's happened in Bucks County. I couldn't be happier. I couldn't salute them more. By the way, our friends over at the Commonwealth Foundation, they send me a lot of good material. Governor Wolf is out there this week saying we need more money for schools. I know you're shocked. Did you know that on average we're spending over $21,000 per student in Pennsylvania right now? Now, Wolf has a point that Pennsylvania is different than these other states. At the state level, we don't spend as much as they do. But when you take the state and local together, we're apparently number three in the entire country. And isn't that what matters? No, not to Wolf. He wants to come and get your money in the suburbs. And he wants to tell you Philadelphia's failing because you are not contributing enough. Could a school district use more money? Sure they could. Do I think Philadelphia's budget, though, they ought to be able to do what they're doing? Absolutely, they have enough money. It's how they spend it. It's all the nonsense that goes on. It's the ideology. It's the agenda. Those are the things that are out there.
Anyhow, the Commonwealth Foundation has completed an analysis of the distribution of federal relief funds in Pennsylvania during COVID-19 the pandemic. Among other findings, public education has been the biggest winner, even being allocated more than health care. Pennsylvania has received over $34 billion in federal aid through the CARES, CAA, and ARP Acts. The top recipient, public education, has been allotted 29%, $10.1 billion of this aid, while only 24%, $8.2 billion, will go to health. Health funding includes pandemic relief sent to the Department of Health, Medicaid programs, assisted living, and nursing homes. Just think about that. More than health. And yet Governor Wolf is still talking about this, still demanding a lot more money. How could that be? Well, that's what a progressive does. It's pretty hard in the middle of a pandemic to be spending more on, quote, education than on health, is it not? Particularly when you're not in school. That doesn't stop them, though. That doesn't stop them at all. So that's where we are, and I'll keep hammering that home. Hey, one more item before we get to our special guest, Dr. David Damsker, the head of public health out in Bucks County. I'm going to have him take us through the beginning of this to the end and his part in it, the three-foot rule, how he said that rather than the six-foot rule, what that did, how he spoke at the school board meeting over in Central Bucks. And then Council Rock jumped in because of that speech. They allowed their kids to go mask-free, a choice, the last week of school. And then we had Pennridge jumping in also. It's amazing. Maybe we need to remind people about what happened over in Abington when a school board member, a new school board member, went after our buddy, the superintendent over there, and the Abington police and police in general, and said she didn't want them in schools. Now, Cheltenham. Cheltenham Township now report out current students, alumni, and others. They don't like the fact that they have police in the Cheltenham schools. Maybe I think it's just at the high school level. They're dissatisfied with the role increased policing has played in school discipline. The organization has crafted a list of four demands: improving mental health, replacing punitive disciplinary strategies with restorative ones, recrafting the school district's memorandum of understanding with the local police department, and removing the physical presence of police from the schools. Okay? And they may get their way. Now, this is a school district that used to be renowned. Anytime we hear about them now, it's not for the things that we used to hear. I mean, their alums, Mark Levin, the Netanyahu's, one of the first transplant docs, Reggie Jackson. That's her Hall of Fame, just to name a few. That's not what you hear now. Why did Cheltenham believe they need police presence there? Are they over-policing? Expect to see a lot more around this. And I wonder what teachers over there think deep down about that, about the need of police there because of any number of things that can happen. And we've heard this before, next door neighbor, Abington, when there was great debate there. We'll try to hook into this a little bit more. I think a judgment was made about police in the school because of safety. Maybe there were fights. Maybe outsiders trying to come in. Who knows the full ramifications of that? But when I read this stuff, I think immediately this is another way to say the police are at fault. The police are going to do too much. We're afraid of the police. Versus their presence there might be seen by some as more reassuring. We'll have a lot more on that, but very special guest coming up. You've heard him on my 9 to noon show, Dr. David Damsker, the head of public health out there in Bucks County, the man of the hour, the guy who really has done so much to turn things around here locally. He's next with Dom Giordano and Dan on Reading, Writing, and Reason.
Now a special Talk Radio 1210 WPHT presentation. It's Reading, Writing, and Reason. Now here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. Reading, Writing, and Reason, one of our favorite guests, and somebody who I can't say enough good things about. And I wanted to provide, though, maybe some insight about these 15 months or so in his position as Director of Public Health, Dr. David Damsker, out in Bucks County. Dr. Damsker, I first wanted to talk about some of the immediate things that happened that are, some of them made national news. A couple of these school districts with just days left saying the science says that children can have a choice not to mask. And then I wanted to take you back and just get your major thoughts during this period of time. You gave an interview this past week, I think, David, with HYY, or at least that's where it appeared. And you said something to me that is as precise for any citizen, not just someone in your position. You said this about the right to choose to mask or not mask. When you order someone to do something or to limit their freedom, it needs to be stopped as soon as that mitigation or control measure is no longer necessary. It doesn't matter if it's the last 2 weeks of school. What do you say? I couldn't agree more, both with the sentiment and as a way for public officials to act. There'd be a lot more credibility if all public officials do that. But what about those who do make that complaint? Come on. In some cases, it was 5 or 6 days of school. Why risk it? What does David Damsker say?
Yeah, thanks, Dom. And I would say overall, it doesn't matter. I don't look at the numbers of days of school left. I don't look at, you know, the time of the year we're at. You look at the epidemiology of the situation that you're in. You know, for instance, you know, if someone has chickenpox and we keep them out for 7 days of school, even though some people could theoretically be contagious for 11 days, and these numbers are just, I'm just throwing them out there, you don't keep someone home the extra 4 days because there's a 0.0001% chance they could still be infectious, right? You send them back when it's the appropriate time to do so. And with the COVID cases, you know, we're down to about 2 cases a day total in the entire Bucks County community. That's for the 105,000 students and teachers. And if you have 2 cases a day, that's no longer an epidemic in the schools, right? And a mask mandate that you're forcing people to do. I think this is one thing I want to get across is wearing a mask is not benign for everybody. There's people that have issues. There's people that have difficulty breathing. There's people that have claustrophobia. There's all kinds of things that even though a lot of people can wear a mask for hours a day, not everybody can. So when you're forcing someone to do that, you have to be very clear that you're doing it for the shortest period of time and in the least restrictive way possible. And I think people have forgotten, you know, up until a couple of years ago, nobody wore a mask anywhere except for if you're a surgeon, you know. And we've gotten so used to this idea of about a mandate of masks that we've forgotten that there's a time where they're not needed anymore. And we have reached that point here in Bucks County, clearly, over the last month. And I feel strongly that regardless of if there's 5 days left or if this was May 1st or a month left of school, when you're directing someone to do something, you must stop it when you don't need to do it anymore.
And again, I think that's a lesson for people in government, because I wanted to walk you back in a moment after we talk about some of these schools to the beginning of this and how you were very consistent throughout it. And when public officials don't do that, they really can't say they're following the science anymore. They're bringing in something artificial. And you know what happens? Then people start to think anything here is negotiable in the sense of whoever screams the loudest or whatever the agenda is versus what we were told, the science. And you seem to be indicating, too, to some, they think there has to be completely zero risk of anything, I guess, before we would go back. But I don't know that that's going to happen anytime soon, right?
That's exactly correct. Coronavirus is now the fourth, you know, sort of common coronavirus. There was 3 or 4 other ones, and now this will just be added to the list. There's no reason to think that we'll ever be down to zero cases of COVID, and I'm pretty sure we won't be. And I think that it's a very unrealistic expectation that we get to zero cases. There's not zero cases of anything, right? There's we still have measles and mumps and pertussis and all these diseases that are pretty much, even though they're much rarer now than they used to be, they're still there. And we don't have people running around, you know, scared of those diseases. And I think people have been, they're overestimating the risk. And this is an interesting concept because it's a new risk. People overestimate the risk. And I've said this, you know, 100 times when I've talked to people about, you know, you have a higher likelihood of dying in a car accident driving to the vaccine clinic than you do from COVID, especially if you're a kid or a young, yes, healthy adult. And I want to make it clear that the risk of COVID is always going to be there to a degree, vaccinated or not. It's still there. But we do have to learn to live with it. And we do have to learn to turn the page and say, yeah, oh, my friend had COVID or whatever. It's not a big deal. Just like you said, my friend had the flu. My friend had this. My friend had that. It just has to become another disease that we live with every day, that the risk is obviously much lower now that a lot of us have been vaccinated, but there's still a small risk. And when it becomes something that you're learning to live with and it's a common thing, the risk, it doesn't bother you anymore. It becomes like everything else. You'd be paralyzed if every time you got in the car to go to the grocery store, you thought about the percent chance that you had of dying of driving to that grocery store. And right now, we're not out of that with COVID yet. But we soon will be when it's just another thing that you live with and no one is paying, they're not conscious of COVID every time they go out.
Well, what's happened here? Look, we've been kidding, too, about liberating town after town as the allies did, because, two of the schools, I try to make this point. These are some of the most affluent, educated school districts here. Not that it matters, but it just adds to the credibility of this. So do you talk to Central Bucks or whatever you can tell us? It's not confidential. Do they call you and say, what do you say about this? We're considering saying you don't have to wear a mask the last 5 days of school.
Yeah, so they decided to have a meeting after the attestation was over that all school districts had to sign, and they decided they wanted to talk about what it would look like or what would happen if they decided to go with mask optional. And they asked me to come speak about what was going on. So I went to the meeting last Wednesday, and we spoke a little bit about the epidemiology. I said a lot of those things that I just said to you during this interview. And it's clear to me as a public health authority in Bucks County that masks are not needed in public anymore. We're down to anywhere between 7 and 15 cases a day throughout 650,000 people. And if that was the numbers of cases we had all along, we never would have had a mask mandate to begin with. And I think that, just like schools, it's not necessary in schools, wearing a mask in general is not needed at those numbers. And look, things can always change. Things can get worse. Things can get better. But the current state, there's no reason for every person to be wearing a mask in Bucks County when you get down to a dozen or less cases a day out of the hundreds of thousands of people that live here. And honestly, throughout the state of Pennsylvania, the numbers are pretty much the same. They're the lowest we've had since the beginning of this pandemic. So I said that, I said that to Central Bucks, and then Council Rock the next day, I guess they overheard my comments at the Central Bucks meeting, and they utilized the same logic when they made their vote.
Well, in fact, though, you're being a bit modest there, or I wrote about this at DelawareValleyJournal.com, Doctor, and they cited your public statement of that in the manner that you did it as the authority they could use in addition to their own authority, and they voted 7-1 because people immediately said, and I wanted to ask you, well, the CDC and I guess the Pennsylvania Department of Health, they still recommend mask wearing. So what's your authority in that when they're still recommending that?
Well, I guess there's some legal tussles to go through. The Bucks County Health Department has always been the local health authority. Up until now, there's never been an issue with us in the state because the state laws, the Disease Prevention and Control Act of 1955, clearly gives the local health authority in a place that has one the ability to determine isolation, quarantine, and control measures. And a mask is a control measure. And the governor never before has ever issued, or the Secretary of Health for the state has never yet issued a statewide order before. So it hasn't been tested in the courts per se. But everything else that we've always done with regards to isolating someone, quarantining someone for control measures for every disease that we've always dealt with has always been the authority of the local health department.
Okay, that explains that. Then I saw, and we've been talking about Dr. David Damsker here on Reading, Writing, and Reason, that Pennridge, where I know there were some, very debated things going on at the school board meeting with parents who wanted in person, then the mask issues. They then saw the weather conditions that we're seeing, and I was really surprised. They were not one of the districts I would have bet that were going to do that, and they gave the choice this week. So now we're at three. Is that the only three in the whole county that are giving the choice?
As far as I know, those are the three that have made masks optional. There may be a couple other ones considering it. They have not reached out to me. But I think, and there's definitely a few that have told other news outlets that they are not going to be changing the mask optional policy right now, which, again, and I've told them all throughout this that I would support either way, and I feel very strongly about that, that there are some logistical reasons. As you said earlier, you know, if there's 4 days left of school, that would generate some logistics issues to carry that out. So I'm okay with either one because I understand there's two sides of this. But from a public health perspective, a true epidemiology perspective, there really is no reason to keep masks on the kids as a mandate.
Well, look, I support you, of course, because I support the science, and you're a perfect combination of doing things that I think are very reasonable, but there's some pushback on. But I have to salute the commissioners, too, who I think, you know, work together with you and have the backing. And Bucks County, to me, has been a model. It hasn't been crazy getting way out there ahead of the curve. But we come back to your initial premise. When the science indicated what to do, you didn't wait weeks. And really, there's suffering going on during that period of time that people are waiting. Kids today, I believe, are suffering in school with masks on. And I think, depending upon where you are, but certainly you know the facts in Bucks County, there's no need to do that. It ought to be a choice.
No, absolutely right. And you know, you said earlier about the CDC says this and the state says that. Remember, the CDC gets their data from places like here. The CDC doesn't actually, you know, talk to people, right? They just get data that they get from us, that we send it to the state, the state sends it to the CDC. So we're always ahead of the CDC. When we see stuff here in Bucks County, we're a large county, we see, this is going back to the very beginning, right? When we saw taste and smell, we knew there's all kinds of things that we saw right away. That the CDC takes much longer to gather that data because they're just a clearinghouse. They get it from the multiple states and jurisdictions.
Mm-hmm.
So when we see right away that there's the epidemiology, there's hardly any cases right here in Bucks County, you know, the CDC isn't looking at Bucks County specifically. They're looking at the whole country.
Sure. Yeah.
And so their guidelines are not relevant to Bucks County right now. You know, so it's not to say the CDC is wrong about everything, but whether it's the 3 feet versus 6 feet or the modified quarantine, which we're still the only county in the state of Pennsylvania using that, and it's been extremely successful, and I was shocked that the state still didn't even give it much credence. You know, but we do what's best here. That's why I like local health departments, because we know what's going on here. We act in the best interest of our own citizens. And I'm not doing it because I think, you know, masks are good or masks are bad. I'm doing it because they're not necessary. And that's another key part of what I told the Central Bucks School Board, was I didn't want to hear any arguments about whether they're good or they're bad. The arguments was either they're needed or they're not. And right now, they're not needed.
Yeah, parting area for you, Dr. David Damsker, too. Let's go back to that three-foot rule. Was that a more difficult thing? Look, I know you're following the science, but we're all in here, just as you said, where people don't want to hear that. They put on uniforms or on one side or the other, because the three-foot rule really freed up to come back in person. A lot of them, logistically, were going to have trouble with the six-foot rule.
Yeah, and that was, you know, and I based that on science early on. You know, the droplet spread, the gravity brings down droplets in 3 feet, the majority of them. It's not perfect, right? You know, if you're 20 feet away, it's better than three. But we also knew you had, like, public health. If you're not practical, common sense and practicality do come into play with public health. You can't just be the most conservative on everything, or you won't be able to accomplish things. So I'm proud that Bucks County had the most kids in school as soon as possible in the fall, and we knew that. So the 3 feet was based on both science and practicality. You can always be extra cautious. You can make one kid per classroom if you really want to be safe, but that's not education, and that's not helping children. So our goal all along, follow the science with a healthy dose of common sense and practicality baked in.
And I might say it's a cost-benefit analysis. Does that make its way in there, given that people forget the difficulties kids are having if they're completely virtual, et cetera? Do you factor that in into considering how much damage is being done at the same time?
Absolutely. And if it wasn't clear, you know, right away, it was certainly clear after those 3 months when school was shut down last spring.
Oh, yeah.
That the kids weren't learning. And there's people that are, honestly, there's the people, if you talk to the people that work in the field of dealing with adolescent, you know, depression and the inpatient places, they've never been more busy than they are now. This is all due to you know, the effects of COVID. It's not, I mean, and not being in school, not being with your friends, having to wear a mask or being in a classroom with just a couple of people, that all is obviously negatively affecting the mindset of a lot of these kids.
Dr. David Damsker, thank you so much. Please come back anytime, and let's hope as we get through the summer, things get even better. Thank you, Dr. Damsker. Really, you've been an amazing local resource for us. Thank you, and I'm so glad to see how this is turning out.
Thanks, Tom. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.
All right. David Damsker, as I said in talking with him, is just somebody who has made such a difference here. On the Daily Show with Dom Giordano, the 9 to noon show, I read from this story, the reporter, I guess out in Lansdale, Montgomery County, the tale of two counties. And there is a public health official who was allowed to speak, their chief person on communicable diseases in Montgomery County. She went on to say, well, sometimes you still may have to wear the mask outside with kids' summer camps in Montgomery County. Can you imagine after all this? And saying they're still going to follow the CDC and they're going to follow the state of Pennsylvania, even though the COVID numbers are, her words, very, very low. It would be very difficult to contract and all that stuff, COVID, in Montgomery County. So why are they doing it? Well, the mindset there and Valerie Arcouche. Why is David Damsker backed and not one, not two, but three school districts said, you know what? No reason to wear the mask the last 5 days of school, like Council Rock, Central Bucks. We're not going to do it. Let the kids go. It's hot. We're not just not going to do it. There's no reason to do it. It doesn't match the science. These people in Montgomery County are still talking about doing it even outside in some situations over the summer during summer camp. What drives this? What's in the water in Montgomery County? Are they then enamored with people like Valerie Arcouche? You talk about a cult. I can't point it out any better and try to figure it out. Philadelphia we get. Philadelphia is long gone. This tells me Montgomery County is pretty far gone, with a county that's right next door that abuts it. Bucks County, controlled by Democrats. They're the two commissioners. They have a public health guy, and they follow him, who says, we don't have to follow the CDC. I'm on the ground here. We don't have to follow, certainly, Pennsylvania. I'm on the ground here. It's safe to allow kids right now to be in school without masks. It's a choice. Montgomery County is projecting out over the summer, outside even, at summer camps. And, no, I don't think we're going to be doing that. We have to wait to see what Val says. When are voters there going to say, you know what, I may be liberal and all that stuff, but this, is Damsker wrong? Is Valerie Arcouche wrong? The science says she's wrong. She doesn't care, though. She's got them hooked for now. Remember, she's running for Senate. But Dr. David Damsker, during this whole pandemic, he is in my top 10 of the people that I most admire. And you'll hear more and more of him here on the show. Got some more things to tell you that are happening in the world of education, parenting, reading, writing, and reason. Continues with Dom and Dan on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Now a special Talk Radio 1210 WPHT presentation. It's Readin', Writin', and Reason. Now here's your host, Dom Giordano.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Readin', Writin', and Reason. Hope you're having a good weekend. Dr. David Damsker, you're lucky out there, and the commissioners are very good in Bucks County, but we just had on, if you missed some of that interview, he's the guy that... It's like he's liberating town by town out there in Bucks County against these onerous rear guard actions that are not based on science when it comes up to the masking of kids. And you're going to see more of it. Boy, I'll tell you, I may take a look and see how well the camps that are located in Bucks County, and they have a lot of them, how well they do versus the advertisements, say, oh, in Montgomery County. Because, you know, Montgomery County is under Camp Czarina. That would be Valerie Arcouche, and Bucks County is under David Damsker. If you were running a summer camp, which one do you think might be more likely to be friendly, that kids are not wearing masks outside, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? I don't see Valerie Arcouche making any moves to loosen up anything. She's a petty authoritarian, and that's the difference. Now, The guy that I see on the move is Ron DeSantis. And what I like what the governor of Florida did this past week is this. On this big issue of critical race theory, which will soon be banned in Florida, the law will take effect, right? DeSantis on Fox News said, we're not going to support any Republican candidate for school board who supports critical race theory in all 67 counties or who supports mandatory masking of school children. Here's the point I'm making. The Board of Education is set to vote on a proposal that would ban teaching America's founding as anything other than the creation of a new nation based largely on universal principles stated in the Declaration of Independence. Teachers would also be unable to share their personal views or attempt to indoctrinate or persuade students to a particular point of view. And he said, those Republicans, it's easy to be against the progressives. He said, those Republicans, though, that are still on board with this stuff, I am not going to support them. I love that. It's a good sign of consistency and balance. And I think it makes DeSantis the guy to beat, largely, when it comes to the presidential primaries and all that will come up. All right, one other thing about this critical race theory, the 1619 Project. You know about that. America was founded purely on slavery, not 1776. And the only reason we had 1776 is because Americans of that era wanted to protect slavery. The argument, the Brits were going to abolish it. We went to war with Britain to continue to protect slavery. My goodness. There's no evidence of that. In fact, it's been refuted. Well, now, the latest bank shot, there's a new book, left-wing academic Carol Anderson's new book, The Second. The Second is the Second Amendment, Race and Guns in a Fatally Unequal America. The Second Amendment is not about guns. It's a new book that argues that the author discovered the racist roots, according to CNN, of the Second Amendment. An attempt, much like the 1619 Project, to reimagine history in purely racial terms. Okay. Now, you may not know this. I didn't know it so much until recently, but there's a lot of evidence that, oh, Harriet Tubman, just a brilliant American, Underground Railroad, was a general fighting against the forces of slavery, if you will, was a big pro-Second Amendment advocate. Why? Well, if you're armed and if a population is armed, and that's what John Brown was trying to do at Harper's Ferry, that was the idea, to take munitions and to have a revolution, if you will, against slave masters. So the 1619 Project is so far off the money around this stuff. And again, it keeps the ball rolling. It keeps the original sin, if you will, from the 1619 Project going. Be watching for that. Hey, I have to say something in the favor so far of Joe Biden, but in the end, I don't think this is going to last. So far, he hasn't given the signal that he is going to forgive student loan debt. A guy named Frederick Hess, American Enterprise Institute, brilliant guy, wrote a piece, The Oddest Sort of Progressivism. Student debt forgiveness would transfer money to the affluent and successful, and it's an assault on our foundational values. Guess who also said much the same thing in a different way? That would be Bill Maher on the Bill Maher Show. Yeah, Maher went off last week attacking this idea of forgiving student loan debt, making someone else pay for it. He called higher education grifters, overpaid babysitters. And he said, how is that a liberal or progressive position to have people that are making more money that now have a college or graduate degree, making those who don't and are not making as much essentially pay for them? And what about these colleges? Now, Maher hasn't gone as far as I've gone, calling them big college, and talking about the key component here around all this is the outrageous amount of inflation that's gone on with going to college. That's what the problem is, not the funding, not anything else. The fat cats that run college know that societally you need a college degree now today as a credential to advance. I mean, it's very hard if you don't in a lot of fields. Not saying it should, but that's a fact. So they're milking this again and again and again. And we see, sadly, just this overbearing, crushing student loan debt that has become a matter of course. So watch for Bill Maher. Bill Maher, look, I know there are certain parts of his I've interviewed him 3 or 4 times. He's a smart guy. I know the atheism. I know the antagonism to Sarah Palin that's unbelievable. But I also know that Maher is somebody who's not the typical lockstep progressive on a lot of this stuff, for his own reasons, for a lot of stuff. And watch for him to be speaking out more on this. And he makes he's an influencer, I think, to some degree, versus those who are just lockstep on this. But Joe Biden, if I had to set a figure at it, before I thought he was going to go for 30, I think it'll be under 30 now. He is going to go for student loan debt forgiveness. And there's a lot of polling that indicates he's got a lot of people on his side. Even if publicly people will say this isn't fair, there are a lot of people deep down. They want to be taken out of this burden. They might go along with it. We'll see. It's an explosive issue, and it's on his mind. So far, though, he has not caved on it, but the day is young. All right, so that will develop, I think, in the next, well, groups are saying they issued a letter recently to Biden, take executive action unilaterally, cancel federal student loan debt, wiping out $1.6 trillion in debt that borrowers owe to the United States taxpayers. That's not going to happen anytime soon. Median student debt is about $17,000. I thought it was more than that. In other words, for the vast majority of borrowers, loans may be an annoyance, but they're not a major obligation. Given that college graduates enjoy a big boost to lifetime earnings, often estimated to be about $1 million over the course of one's working life, these policies seem geared to transfer huge sums to the Americans with the best financial prospects. Yeah, that's true, but emotionally, someone comes along and says, I'm going to take away this big burden hanging over your head. It's going to be hard to get that first house and everything else. And you may start to weaken up. This is going to be a fascinating debate, and we'll be right inside it. Again, if you missed part of this podcast, spread the word here. You can always get the podcast or point people to it on the station website, WPHT.com. And that is the idea of David Damsker out there alone in Bucks County. He's the guy. Now, the woman that heads up public health over in Chester County, and they also headed up in Delaware County, has done some good stuff. But he's the guy that has been allowed to, by the commissioners and the science, to reopen Bucks County and to help to reopen this area. Is he wrong? Is Valerie Arcouche right? Is whoever is heading up the Philadelphia Health Department, God, who that might be at this point, do you have more faith in him? With David Damsker have put a 22-year-old nitwit, in my view, in charge of the big rollout of vaccine and how precious this is? No, I don't think so. One other thing, too, by the way, on vaccine. I happened upon something that just stuns me, and you can always shoot me an email if you have any theory on this. I have the New Jersey municipality's vaccination rates, based upon county. Now, it's not over yet. We're still in the process. This is one shot. In Burlington County, close to home, Mount Laurel leads with 55%. New Hanover Township is only at 6%. In Camden County, Pine Valley leads with 70%. Camden at only 20. Cape May, Avalon is 94%. Wildwood only 29%. Gloucester County, Winoa 57. Paulsboro only 25. All right? Just thought you'd like to hear some of those. Hey, thanks for listening to Reading, Writing, and Reason. And again, thanks to Dan for putting all this together and Dr. David Damsker for joining us. We already know next week we're going to be talking with this teacher in Fairfax County, but she spoke to the Loudoun County School Board, and she came from Armenia, and that's the centerpiece where all this indoctrination and everything else is going on, and told them, and it's gone viral now, that parents have to stand up and protect their kids from socialism, critical race theory, and everything else. That'll be next week. Remember, reading, writing, and reason here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.